Welcome to the Asian Tapestry. Chapter 3, The Cat and the Princess and the Silver Ring, Part 1. Hello and welcome to the Asian Tapestry, a podcast that admits legends and lore from Asia, structured in a book-like format called the Book of Fables. Our last chapter was called Harisarman and the Frog Who Saved His Life, our second fable from India. Today's chapter has everything a good story should have. A princess, a magical kingdom, talking animals, a hero and an evil villain, and just the right amount of comic relief. Long ago, a merchant took his son aside and gave him 300 rupees. Now in this age, 300 rupees was no small sum, and so the son was astonished by his father's generosity. The father took him by the shoulders and told him very seriously that this money was not for idle pleasure, but was to be used to begin a business. The son promised to use the money wisely, and then departed on his travels. Unfortunately for his father, the young man had a very soft and kind heart, and he could not have foreseen what his son would do while he was travelling across the land. As the young man travelled, he heard some men's voices. They were angry and sounded dangerous, but nevertheless he went towards them. Quite soon he saw what all the commotion was about. It was a group of herdsmen who were quarrelling over a dog. The dog had gotten into their lands and scared off some of their cattle. Some of the men wanted to slit the dog's throat, while the others wanted to tie its leg together and throw it into a nearby river. The merchant's son was horrified at this talk of cruelty, and instantly reached into his bag for the pouch of rupees. He begged them to let the dog go in exchange for 100 rupees. The men quickly agreed and passed him the dog, chuckling at their good fortune. So the young man set off once more with his new dog. But soon they came upon a group of people arguing over a cat. Some wanted to kill it for eating their chickens, others wanted to let it go. So, once again, the merchant's son took out his pouch and gave another 100 rupees out for the cat. And so, with his new dog and new cat, the young man set off. Eventually, the three of them arrived at a village, where they came upon a large group all fighting over a snake. Some wanted to kill it for eating their newly laid eggs, others wanted to rather cook it. And so the young man took his last 100 rupees and gave it to the villagers in return for the snake. Of course, now our young, well-meaning, if a bit foolish hero had spent all the money his father had given him, and there was no business to show for it. Only a dog, a cat, and a snake. What was he to do? He puzzled over his predicament for a long time, but soon realized that he had no other choice but to return to his father. Naturally, his father was furious and did not want to hear his son's reasons for spending the money. In anger, he chased his own son from the house, along with the cat, the dog, and the snake, and told them to never set foot in his house again. The merchant's son was truly upset, and crept into the barn with his three companions, and curled up on a mound of hay. Over a few days, they grew very fond of their rescuer. The cat would sleep by his feet, ensuring the cold didn't reach them. The dog curled up by his head, always alert at the first sign of danger to his master. And the snake lay this way and that across his entire body. Not many days afterwards, the three animal companions sat together, while their master had gone off to hunt for some food. They were all concerned for their kind-hearted boy, who grew thinner and thinner by the day. He insisted on sharing whatever he found with all three of them, even though Snake tried to tell them that he would be able to find his own food. But the merchant's son was terrified that if someone had to find Snake, they would kill him. "I'm very worried indeed," Dog said, his eyes drooping sadly. Master will not last long unless we find a way to help him. Cat and Snake nodded in agreement. Indeed. There must be a way to help our young boy, Cat said. Deep in thought, her one paw massaging her chin idly. After a while, Snake spoke in a low, gentle voice. I think I may know how to help our human man, he said. My father is Raja Indrasha, a powerful magical serpent king. He and I parted on bad terms, but after I disappeared and was caught by those humans, I have heard from others that he has been very worried about me. If our human man had to take us to my father and explain how he heroically saved me, I think he would be rewarded most handsomely. Cat and Dog nodded happily in agreement, and they all waited until the merchant's son returned to tell him of their idea. When he returned and they told him of their plan, the young man was happy to travel to see Raja Indrasha. He modestly told Snake that although he would love to meet his father, he did not wish to ask him for a reward, for he did not save him for that reason. Snake nodded. I know, young human, you are too good and pure, but my father will consider it most rude if you refuse his generosity. To that then, the merchant's son agreed to take a reward, if Raja Indrasha offered it. Soon they all gathered their things, which is not very much for the animals, and not much more for our young hero, and set off to see Snake's father. Raja Indrasha lived in a magical place near the base of a grand mountain not too far away. To get to his realm, the four of them had to travel to the base of the mountain and find a sacred spring. When they arrived at the spring, Snake told Cat and Dog that they would not be able to follow into his realm, as he could only take one other person with him. And so the merchant's son told them to wait there for him while he went with Snake to see Raja Indrasha. Diving into the spring, their master vanished with Snake. But soon Dog began to fret and worry, muttering to himself as he padded up and down the edge of the spring. Oh, I don't like this. I should have gone with them. I don't like this at all. What if he's in danger? Who is going to help him? Snake? I never did trust reptiles. Oh, what if he's hurt? Oh, I really can't stand much more of this. Dog! Shouted Cat irritably, as she massaged the side of her head in exasperation. You are making my head hurt with your constant worrying. Let us just go find something to eat to take your mind off things, she said, starting off towards the nearest village, her tail lazily waving from side to side. Dog was torn between waiting by the string for his master and following Cat. His stomach growled. Oh, I am hungry. A nice roast chicken would be tasty, he mumbled, salivating all over his paws. Wait, Cat! Wait for me! He shouted after his feline friend before bounding off after her. Meanwhile, in the realm of the snakes, the merchant's son and Raja Indrasha's son waited for an audience with the Snake King. Soon the king sent for them both, but Snake told the young man to enter alone and explain how he had saved Snake, so that Raja Indrasha could see the worth of the young man for himself. So he bade his snake companion and was soon ushered into the throne room. Raja Indrasha was a mighty serpent, longer than any snake ever seen and thicker than three pillars put together. His scales gleamed a deep blue with orange spirals running along his back and down to the tip of his tail. Atop his head sat his ceremonial garb, bejeweled with sapphires and rubies, and on his tail sat a golden ring, with a single emerald embedded in its center. So, spoke Raja Indrasha, his voice soft yet it carried all across the grand hall. You are the young human man who rescued my son. Tell to me what happened, he commanded. And so the merchant's son did as he was told, and related how he had spent all his money saving Cat, Dog, and Snake. Raja Indrasha was very impressed, and then sympathetic, when he heard how the merchant had thrown his own son out of the house. I am all too familiar how frequent conflicts a father and his son can get into. Before he was kidnapped, my son and I quarrelled about his duties in the palace. I felt that he was shirking his responsibility, but I see now that he wanted to simply experience the world. Rajendrasha said remorsefully, if only I had allowed him, he would have had adequate protection. Still, you have my everlasting gratitude for rescuing him, and I must reward you. The merchant's son said that a reward was not necessary, as he rescued Snake out of care for him. But once Rajendrasha insisted, he did not protest again, remembering the words of Snake. So the King of Snakes ordered his servants to bring in a golden pot and a golden spoon, before removing his own ring and setting it aside for our hero. For a few days they stayed in the kingdom, but eventually the merchant's son took his leave, for he was worried about Dog and Cat waiting for him above. Snake and his father bid him farewell, but just before he left, Snake whispered some words into his ear for him alone. Returning to the surface, the young man found his loyal dog curled up by the spring, and his clever cat cleaning herself on a rock. She peered at him thoughtfully, taking in the pot and spoon on his back, and the ring on his finger. Well, well, seems like Snake didn't eat you as dog thought, she muttered, flicking a pebble at the sleeping canine, who instantly leapt up, growling at what he thought was an intruder. When he realized that it was his master, he leapt up and began licking the young man's face enthusiastically. Laughing, the merchant's son greeted his companions, and they all set off together. Soon they came across some lovely land, and the young man stopped and set down his pot and spoon. He explained that Snake had told him to whisper into Rajendrasa's ring, and he would be provided with a grand palace, while the pot and spoon would provide them with never-ending food and drink. Following these instructions, he whispered into the ring, and before their very eyes, the most beautiful palace the merchant's son had ever seen sprang up. Cat whistled and Dog barked with joy. You are no longer the merchant's son, young master, but a prince, said Cat with a small smile. The prince, for that was his name now, clapped his hands in delight, but soon found his mouth falling open as the palace door opened and a beautiful woman stepped out. Her dark hair flowed down her shoulders and almost to her calves, her almond-shaped eyes gleaming as she took on the prince before her and his strange companions. The ring had also given him a princess, and the prince could not have been happier. And so for several years the prince and his princess, Cat and Dog, all lived happily in their palace, gifted to them by Rajendrasha. Then one day, the princess was brushing her hair. She gathered all her hair and placed it within a reed, which she threw into a nearby stream, as was her custom. The reed bobbed along the river, and eventually found itself in an entirely different kingdom, where by chance, another prince picked it up and examined it curiously. As soon as the prince discovered the rich long hair within, he ran into his bedroom and refused to leave it, neglecting to eat or drink water, wasting away in his infatuation. He declared that he was in love with the owner of this luxurious hair, and could do nothing but gaze at it. His father, the king, fell into deep worry for his son, and consulted his aunt, an ogress. She promised him that she would be able to bring back this mystery princess for her nephew, and transforming herself into a bee, buzzed away as quickly as she could. She buzzed and buzzed and buzzed until she came across the prince's magnificent kingdom. Spying the princess in her room, the ogress turned herself into an old, kindly woman, and knocked on the front door. The princess welcomed her in, and asked who she was, to which the ogress replied that she was the princess's long-lost aunt, who had recently come back from abroad, and upon hearing of the princess, rushed over to see her beautiful niece. The ogress continued to gush about the princess, until the poor girl was quite deceived. The ogress was invited to stay in the palace, but Cat and Dog stared suspiciously at the old woman, as the princess gave her a tour of the palace. There's something not quite right here, Cat murmured. Dog nodded in agreement. She smells odd, like fish that's been left out in the sun, Dog added, his nose wrinkling in disgust. Cat was momentarily distracted by the thought of fish, but soon focused back on the situation. I think we best keep an eye on things while the prince is away hunting. Despite their efforts, the ogress soon won over complete trust from the princess, and Cat and Dog found themselves often left out of conversations, preventing them from guarding the princess effectively. During these conversations, the princess unwittingly revealed the existence of the magical ring, and the ogress persuaded her to ask her husband to leave it in his wife's trusty hands, for he could easily lose it when hunting. When the prince came home the next day, he happily agreed to do just that. He briefly met the ogress before departing once more, called away on some business with a nearby village. Soon, the ogress saw her opportunity. While the princess was making some bread, she offered to hold the ring so that it would not get messed up in the dough. The princess gratefully accepted the help, but cried out in shock when the ogress snatched it from her hands, turning into a bee and flying quickly out of the window. Before dog or cat could do anything, the palace vanished from below their feet and the princess before their very eyes. She was gone, and with her, their prince's happiness. And that is the end of chapter 3, part 1. Once again, I have written this tale in my own style. My main original source for this chapter is a story called The Charmed Ring by Joseph Jacobs, written in 1892. You can hear a little more about Jacobs in chapter 1. I added or changed a few things, including the colour of the princess's hair, which was golden in Jacobs' retelling. Golden hair really just didn't fit into the setting in India, so I decided to change it. I added more interactions between the animals, and chose to remove all active dialogue for the merchant's son, as I wanted the focus to be more on the animals. Part 2 will be out on the 26th of May. But before we end, I have a lovely promo from Booze and Spirits Podcast.
Hey, did you know that in the original Bloody Mary ritual, you had to walk backwards up a flight of stairs?
Oh really? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the purpose was to catch a glimpse of your future husband's face.
Really? I wish I could find my future husband that easily.
Honestly, all I really want to do now is drink a Bloody Mary.
Well, how about we go make some Bloody Marys while you tell me more fun facts about Bloody Mary?
Join us every week at Booze and Spirits,
where we make our favorite drinks and tell each other our favorite paranormal stories.
Find us under Booze and Spirits on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, and Podbean.
And follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Booze and Spirits.
And that brings us to the end of Chapter 3, Part 1 of the Book of Fables. I sincerely hope that you've enjoyed this tale, and that you join me once more for Part 2.
This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at straightupstrange.com.